In Perek Mem Aleph, in chapter 41, the Alter Rebbe set down the principle that in addition to love with which one serves God and does mitzvahs, there also has to be a certain amount of fear, even in the performance of positive mitzvahs. Because without the fear, the aveda, the doing of the mitzvah, is not an aveda. And we have to serve, and serving comes through fear, meaning through bittul. And in order to attain this fear, a person should consider, before he does a mitzvah, that God is standing over him, and watching him, and waiting to see how he will perform, whether he's serving God properly. And this itself will bring a certain fear, a bittul, a consciousness to the person, at least in his mind, even if it's not a fear in the heart. And this is called yiratato. This is called a preliminary fear, the lower level fear. It is a preliminary before necessary in the performance of the mitzvah. Then there's a higher level of fear that not everyone can attain. Yira ilo. Now, in Perek Mem Beis, for the 19th of Nisan, on page 608, today Shir Tanya. That which was said before concerning the lower level of fear, yuvan heitev, with that we will understand clearly. The Gemara says on the Pasuk, Ato, and now, what does God require of you? Only that you fear God. So the Gemara said on this Pasuk, Atu yira milse zutisihi. Is fear a simple matter? Moshe is saying to the Jews, what does God expect of you merely to fear God? So the Gemara says, why is that merely? Fearing God is no easy thing. It's not easy for the average human being to marshal a feeling of awe or fear of God without knowing and understanding God's greatness. So the Gemara answers, it is in fact a simple thing, a mere matter, because legabe Moshe milsezutzusihi, in Moshe, for Moshe, it is a simple thing. So we might think that the answer of the Gemara is that Moshe Rabbeinu was certainly capable of fear of God. And so Moshe was saying it's a mere thing. And that's all that God expects, is only that you fear him. And Moshe could say that because to him fear was a simple matter. But that's a very superficial understanding. Now, the Rebbe explains it correctly. We need to understand the answer of the Gemara, because at first glance, it's not understandable. Because how does this answer the question? The Hashayel, the Gemara's question was, that me'imach ksiv. What does God ask of you, Moshe is saying? He's saying that to the Jews. God asks of you merely that you fear him. So the question was, how can Moshe say to the average Jew that all he has to do is fear? It's not so simple for the average Jew to fear. So what is the answer of the Gemara? That for Moshe it's easy. That wasn't the question. It doesn't answer the question. Ella inyan hu ki kol nefesh v'nefesh mebeis Yisrael. So the matter is as follows. Every Jew, yesh ba mebechinas Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-sholem ki hu mishiv ha-reyim. There were seven shepherds of the Jewish people. There are seven shepherds. Each one of them, as a shepherd, nurtures and feeds his flock. So every one of the seven shepherds, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, and so on, are constantly feeding and tending to the sheep and providing for every Jewish neshama godliness in various forms. They bring godliness and life to every Jewish neshama, And that's why they are called shepherds, because they tend to their flock. They provide for their sheep. Moshe Rabbeinu, all of Asholim, Moshe Rabbeinu, who klolus kulam, Moshe Rabbeinu is the overall shepherd that includes all of them, the Nikra Raya Mehemno, and he is called the trusted, faithful shepherd, the Hainu Shemam Sher Bechinas Hadas, the klolus Yisrael, Leide Es Hashem. Why is Moshe the overall shepherd that includes all the shepherds? Because Moshe's inyan is das. That was Moshe's level. And in das, you have all six emotions. So the seven shepherds provide for every Jewish neshama the six emotions: love of God, fear of God, compassion for God, which is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and so on through all the six emotions. And then Moshe is the seventh shepherd. He provides das. And das actually contains all six emotions. Kol echot kefi asogas nishmosi v'sher shalemaylo. So Moshe Rabbeinu provides das for every Jew, that every Jew should know something of God, each person according to the level, to his capacity, and according to the level of his nisham. V'yenikosam v'sherish nishmas Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalem. And its source, where does the average neshama get its das in alikus, in godliness, from the sheirish of Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama? Hamushreshes bedas ha'elyin, shebiyutsviris da'atzilus, hamiyuchodes b'matzilon baruch. Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama is connected to the svira of das in atzilus, das of atzilus, and there the Sviris are completely connected and one with the Eibishter, with God Himself. Shehu v'dayte echad v'hu hamada. Because He, God, and His knowledge are one, as quoted earlier in the name of the Rambam, that God is the knowledge, the knowing, and the knower. So every Jew has the ability to have das in godliness, because he gets it from the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu, as his neshama stands in heaven, provides for every Jewish, for every neshama that comes down to earth, an element of das, which is the spark of Moshe within each neshama. Now the idea here is not that Moshe Rabbeinu provides intelligence, das. The idea is that Moshe Rabbeinu provides godliness. And that's why the Alter Rebbe says Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama is from das of Atzilus, and Atzilus is connected to the Eibishter. It's not a matter of intelligence. Just as with the others, that Avraham provides Ava and Yitzchak provides Yira to every neshama, it doesn't mean that Avraham provides the attribute of love. It means that godliness comes into the world through the neshamas of the patriarchs, of the seven shepherds, and in each of the shepherds, the godliness takes on another form. In Avraham Avinu, the godliness expresses itself into Ahava. So when we say that we get Ahava from Avraham Avinu, it doesn't mean that he teaches us to love. He gives us the capacity to love. The capacity to love every neshama has. What Avraham Avinu gives us is godliness that touches the Ahava. A godliness that expresses itself in love. And there's a mashal given for this, the difference between a true artist, a painter, and someone who mimics art. A person who copies a painting, and he himself is not a true artist, can make exactly the same strokes and exactly the same forms and shapes as the original painting. And the difference will be that the original painting is alive, whereas the copy is dead. It's flat. And what is the difference between them is something difficult to describe. You can't quite put your finger on, be able to point to something in the copy that is wrong, that makes it lifeless, or to show that there is something in the original something visible, tangible, in the original that makes it come alive. The difference is that when a person copies a painting, he's using shapes, lines, strokes, figures, in order to produce an image, a likeness of a face. But a face is not made up of lines. A face is not made up of circles. So what happens is that he basically creates an image of the face, a copy of the face, a symbol, a symbolic drawing that represents the face. Whereas the true artist, he has this capacity, this gift, where he looks at a face and absorbs it, and then can transfer it onto paper. So he's not starting with symbols. In order to create a face, he is starting with a face, and he is able to transform that vision into circles and figures and lines and strokes and so on. So it depends on what you're starting with. If you start off with the details, with the tools, and from that you want to create a face, then you create a symbolic face, a face represented by lines and circles and strokes. But if you're starting off with the face and you absorb it so profoundly that it comes out of your hand onto the paper, then you're creating a face. You're merely using the lines as an expression for the face. And that's why the drawing of the artist will be alive, because it's the face, not the lines, that he's creating. The same way, a person can believe in God because he has all the right answers. He asked all the questions and he got all the right answers, so he knows and he's convinced and he is sure that God exists and God created the world and God gave the Torah. He has all the answers, but the whole thing is dead. It's not alive. There's no life to it, because he's starting off with the details. Whereas godliness means that a person is conscious, he feels the presence of the Eibishter. Every neshama is a part of God, and there's a spark of God within the neshama, so the neshama is conscious and aware of the Eibishter. Now, when that awareness, when that consciousness seeks expression, it'll find expression in seichel, that it explains creation and explains how it happened and explains where it all comes from. It'll find expression in ahava. It'll find expression in yira. But when you start off with ahava, you have love, and you're looking for who to love, who deserves your love the most, and you discover that the greatest love is the love of God, then you're starting off with the lines, you're starting off with the circles, and it'll never create a living face. Same is true also with Avas Yisrael. If a person starts off with all the details, Avas Yisrael means hospitality, and Avas Yisrael means giving money, and Avas Yisrael means complimenting, and Avas Yisrael means never seeing a fault, and Avas Yisrael means always smiling to another person. That's all very good, but it's going to be a dead thing. When you start off, on the other hand, with an appreciation of what is a Jew, the greatness of a Jew, the greatness of a neshama, the godliness of a Jew, that a Jew is the apple of God's eye, then when that finds expression in hospitality and in tzedakah and in kindness and in pleasantness and so on, then the whole thing is a living mitzvah. And the same is true also with Mashiach. One can believe in Mashiach, one can want Mashiach, one can expect Mashiach, one can wait for Mashiach, long for Mashiach, but all from the bottom. He's starting off with the mitzvah. He's starting off with the obligation. He's starting off with the acts. Whereas the other possibility is that Mashiach is real, and he feels the presence of Mashiach. And so Mashiach doesn't let him sleep. Mashiach doesn't let him rest. And where does he express this? In his emunah in Mashiach, in his longing for Mashiach, and his expecting Mashiach, and so on. Then it's a living thing. So Moshe Rabbeinu provides das, not that he gives us seichel. He gives us godliness that is felt in the seichel. He brings godliness down to the level of seichel. And this is done from above, the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, finding expression in every Jew's neshama. Another thing, Yesed Al Kain, even greater than this, is that behold, Devadir, Yedin Nitzutin Minishmas Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hasholem, in every generation, a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama comes down, Umislapshim Beguven Nefesh Olchachmi Hadir, Eni Ha'eda. And the sparks clothe themselves in the souls of the sages of the generation who are called the eyes of the community, the leaders of the community. To teach godliness to the people, so that every Jew can learn the greatness of God, so that he can serve him with heart and soul. Because the purpose of the knowledge is not simply for its own sake, but that it should produce a wholeness in the heart, a wholesomeness. And in order to produce the wholesomeness of the heart, you have to have das first, because the heart follows the mind. As it says, know the God of your father, and serve him with all your heart and with a longing soul. So we see that das leads to wholeheartedness. Concerning the future, after Mashiach comes, it says that one will no longer teach his neighbor, because everyone will know God directly, himself. But that's in the time after Mashiach. Until such time, the spark of Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama comes down into the body and soul of the leaders of each generation, so that they can inspire the people with a knowledge, a das, in godliness that leads to service with the heart. What does it mean that it comes down into the body of the heads of the generation, of the leaders of the generation? Since we're talking here not about information and knowledge, it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu provides explanations into God's greatness, but a recognition in God's greatness. Das means an attachment, not merely an information. And this can express itself even in the body of a tzaddik. So the tzaddikim of every generation embody this element of das, not only in their neshama, but also in their body. And that's why a person can be inspired in his emunah and in his devotion to the Eibishter simply by seeing a tzaddik, by being present where the body of a tzaddik is present. Because the body itself exudes a recognition of godliness. Ah, ikir hadas, ein ha'yediyah levado. So the main thing about das, the essence of das, is not merely knowledge, sheyedu gedulas Hashem episeifim episvarim, to know the greatness of God from the tzaddikim, or from their works, from their books. Elo ha'ikir hu laha migdaite begedulas Hashem. The important thing is not what is given, but how you use it. And that is, that now that we know that das is provided from above, from the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, and also below, the spark of Moshe Rabbeinu in every tzaddik of every generation, now we have to take it and apply it, and that is the essence, the nature of das, that you dwell and you think about it deeply. That you implant this knowledge and this thought strongly into the with heart and with mind. Until one's thought becomes attached to God with a very strong bond, just as a person is attached to what he sees with his physical eye and what he thinks about constantly, because it's close, in the same way a person should become bound up, connected to godliness, that godliness should become his reality. As we know that the word das means not information, but attachment. Connection. Kamei v'ha'odam yoda. As it says by Adam and Chava, that Adam knew Chava, which means that he became joined and connected to her through the children. In the same way, das of godliness means not that you become aware of it, but that you become attached to it, that the awareness becomes a permanent feature, a permanent fixture in your mind and in your heart. In the Hayyim Yem for the 19th of Nisan, the Rebbe writes that Pam Pirish Amur, on an occasion, my father explained that Manishtano Halayla means what is this night different? The night means Golos, because Golos is compared to night. Golos Shenimsho Ulayla. So what is different? Golos Hazeh, this Golos, Ha'achrein, the last Golos, Mikol Halayles, from all other Golos, Goliye Shekadmu, from all the previous exiles. How is this exile different from all other exiles? Shebechol Halayles, Einanu Matbilin, in all other exiles, we didn't dip. The word Matbilin is Loshen Miruk Nikoyin V'Tahara. It means cleansing, purifying. So in other Golosim, we didn't finish cleansing and purifying ourselves. Afilu pa'am echos, not even once. Because lo nigmar hamiruk b'hem. The cleansing was not completed. Ki harehoya achareyem eid golos. That's why, after the exile, there was another exile. Because the cleansing was not complete. But halayla hazeh shtei pa'amim. But from this golos, we will come out doubly clean. Miruk guf, the cleansing of the body, the gilui hanefesh, and the revealing of the soul. Another difference is shebechol halelis anu echon chometzei matzah. In all the other exiles, we ate chometz or matzah. Haynu ki gam achar hagolus, even after the exile was over, the exile in Egypt, for example, ha'aveda himitad nefesh olikis, matzah and bittel umitad nefesh abahamis. Even after the golus, we were serving God from our godly soul as well as also from our animal soul. Matzah is the godly soul, chametz is the animal soul, chametz and yeshus. But halayla hazeh, achar golus ha'achrein, after this layla, after this golus, kulei matzah, we will serve God purely with godliness, because sheyuva ruach hatuma, because unholiness will be removed from the world. Another difference, shebechol halelis anu eichem she'or yirokes, all other nights we eat all sorts of greens. Kol hametane, pun of medikes. Green means jealousy. As the Gemara says, whoever is jealous, his face turns green. So in all other exiles, in all other golosim, we had different kinds of greens. Ubechol ha-goliyes, harbu b'chinas b'kina. There were many different types of jealousy. Kina seferim v'hademe. Positive kinds of jealousy, but there were many kinds. There was the jealousy of knowledge, of wanting to be more knowledgeable. But halayla hazeh, in this golos, achar golos ha'achrein, after this final golos, kulei morer, all jealousy will be bitter. Kina hayesa gedela, the greatest jealousies. Al derech maimer zal kol tzadik michra muchuposa shel chaveri, that every tzadik will be burnt, will be scorched by the greatness of his friend. Meaning a great intense jealousy, a positive jealousy. And another thing is shebechol halelis anoechon ben yeshun ben mesubim kol hagiluyim sharidei hagolies, all that which was revealed as a result of the golus, eichlin bechinas ha'tainug, we ate, meaning we felt the tainug, v'yesh espashtus ha'tainug, the tainug ha'atzmi, v'yesh mishemagia bavidose l'espashtus ha'tainug, v'yesh l'tainug ha'atzmi, there is the essential pleasure and there is the expansion of the pleasure. So there are those who ate either sitting up or reclining, meaning either the lower level tainug, the expansion of the tainug, or on occasion they reach the essence of the tainug, of the pleasure. But halayla hazeh, achar golos ha'achrin, after the last golos, kulonu mesubin, we will all be eating, reclining, implying shekol yisro yagiu b'chinas tainug ha'atzmi. We will all arrive at the level of the essence of pleasure and not only its expansion.